Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
How many of you have heard the saying, I'll forgive, but I will never forget? And that usually is a negative statement, in the sense that I'm happy to forgive that person, but I'm never going to forget what they did to me. Well, you know what? I want to put a positive twist on that statement today. I want to put a positive twist because I believe although we are forgiven by God, I also believe we are not forgotten by God. And sometimes you can easily feel like you have been forgiven, but you can also feel like you have been forgotten. And I just want to encourage you this morning that if you have found forgiveness in Jesus and you have discovered a new faith in Him, that's brilliant. But I also don't want you to forget or to feel like somehow God has forgotten you. Most people can deal with the fact that God has forgotten about their past. What they also think that God has forgotten about is their present or even their future. Most people can get their head around that God has chosen to not look at our yesterday, but they also feel like God is not looking at their today. And I don't know whether you have ever felt like that, whether you feel like, I know that I am saved, but God, have you forgotten about me? Has anyone ever felt like that before? Have you ever prayed about something? Have you ever asked God for something, but somehow you feel like your life is forgotten by God, like as if He's got better things to do and God's done the bare minimum and brought forgiveness into your life, but now you're just, God, what's next? And I want to encourage you today. Is that okay? I want to encourage you that I believe that although we are forgiven by God, we are also not forgotten. And if anyone else wants to hear this message, come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause. I believe there is someone in the Bible who had this experience. And this is a message that I have taken all over the world, to be honest. I've preached this message in different nations because I believe it's something that no matter where you live, we all feel this. We've all experienced this. And if there's a person who experienced this, probably more than most of us will be a guy called Noah. And God tells Noah to build a boat because He's going to make a flood arrive, and it's going to come out of the ground, and it's going to come from the clouds, and it's going to rain for 40 days and for 40 nights. And God says that He's going to make the rain rise up and the water to rise up to a level that it will rise up 20 feet higher than the highest mountain. That's a lot of water, friends. So God says, Noah, build an ark. So he decides to build an ark. Noah finishes building the ark. And then God says, now it's time to get in the ark. What does the ark represent? Well, I want you to notice something. The ark is made out of wood. And the ark is supposed to save him. Anyone else think of something that's made out of wood and it's supposed to save you? The ark actually represents the cross of Jesus. And you know what? If Noah had have built the ark and then just admired the ark, that wouldn't have been enough to save him. Do you know, if Noah had have built little arks and put it around his neck, that wouldn't have been enough to save him. If he had sung some songs about the ark, oh, ark, you are wonderful, that's not enough to save you. If Noah had have got half in and half out of the ark, that still wouldn't have been enough. You could have believed with all your heart that that ark was going to save you, but if you didn't get in it, it wouldn't have actually saved you. How many people do we know that believe in the cross of Jesus? They believe that He died. They believe that in the name of the Father and the Son. They believe all that, but they haven't placed their lives into the ark. Yeah, wow. But they believe it. But believing it doesn't save you. Yeah. It's actually putting your trust in it and giving your whole heart and placing yourself within the ark that saved Noah and his family. And so Noah climbs into the ark. And so there he is. He's He's in, and now the rain begins to fall. And, you know, there's no doubt that Noah knew that he was saved fairly quickly. He knew that he was saved as the waters began to rise and the ark began to lift off. He knew that he was saved. And maybe you come from a background where if I was to say to you, are you saved? Do you know what I used to say? Oh, I don't know. Only God knows. How many of us have heard that before? If I was to say to you, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? What's your answer? Well, I don't know. That's like saying to me, Richard, are you married? And I go, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah. Only Helen knows. I was there too. God wants you to know. All of us in this place should know that we 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 are saved. There's a scripture that says that God has removed our sin as far as east is from the west. I love that. It doesn't say as far as North Pole is from the South Pole, because they're definite points. But did you notice there's no East Pole and no West Pole? Have you noticed that? In other words, your sins are over there and you're over there. God's going to remove you from your sin. God doesn't want us to doubt whether we are saved. When Noah was on the boat, he wasn't doubting whether he was saved from the flood. Are you getting that? God wants us in that place today. And if you're not in that place today, by the end of this service, I pray that you would be in that place. But something that we may not realize is this. How long was Noah in the ark, friends? Most of you want to say 40 days. The Bible says it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Do you know how long he was actually in the ark for? 1 year and 17 days. That's a long time to be with horses, pigs, cows. This wasn't the P&O Fairstar Cruiser, friends. There were no movies to go watch. There wasn't the entertainment. There was no buffet. I mean, maybe once in a while he killed something and then that became the buffet. But 1 year and 17 days? Like some of us have been on cruises for 17 days and even with all the buffets, you still wanted to get off the thing. Can you imagine how Noah was feeling for 1 year and 17 days to be on the ark? Listen, knowing that he was saved, but I can't imagine that would have been a great time for him. And he would have started to think, God, thank you that I didn't drown with all my friends, but is this it? Is this life now? Just on the ocean? Just on the ocean, just aimless? You know, some of us feel like that. You know you're saved, but I don't know where I'm going. And then a wave comes, so we end up over here, and then we end up over there. And Noah would have felt like that and thought, what's next? Is this it? Is this it? Yeah. Yeah. I want to challenge you today, this is not it. And some of us have settled for like, well, at least I'm saved and I'm in the ark. Moo! I want to challenge you. Are you feeling like you've been forgotten? Because if you do, you're in actually great company, because that's exactly how Noah felt. Yeah. He felt like, is this it, God? Like, thank you that I'm saved. I don't want to be ungrateful or unthankful. But is this it? Is this it? And then the Bible says something absolutely amazing. The Bible says that God says to him, Noah, I haven't forgotten. And I just want to speak into your lives right now. Some of you have prayed prayers about your marriage and you're thinking, God, have you forgotten? I know I'm forgiven, but have you forgotten? Some of us have prayed that prayer about children and you've prayed that prayer about your career and you've prayed that prayer in different areas of your lives, to be financially independent, to be able to preach around the world, to be healed. Come on, some of you are waiting for a healing and you're wondering, God, thank you for salvation, but is this it? I want to buy a house, God. I want to work out what's going on in my career. Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, it says, but God remembered Noah. Amen. But listen, he didn't just remember Noah. He also remembered all the wild animals, because even they were starting to get frustrated. And the livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Do you know that term comes up over and over again in the Bible? Do you know God said it to Rachel? In Genesis 32, 30:22, it says, then God remembered Rachel. Why? Well, why does it say God remembered Rachel? Because she was praying a prayer to God. God, I want a child. And she felt forgotten. If you feel forgotten today, you're in great company. Noah felt it. Rachel felt it. But the Bible says God remembered her. Friend, I'm telling you right now, there is a God in heaven, and that statement is going to be said over your life. And God remembered John. And God remembered Jerry. And God remembered Sally. And God remembered Leroy. And God remembered Madeline. And God remembered, and God remembered, and God remembered. And you may be feeling right now, God, I prayed a long time ago. And I'm so thankful for where I'm at. I don't want to be unthankful. But God, I'm looking forward to that you remembered me part. Now, I'm telling you, why am I preaching about this? Because God needs you to hold on. He needs you to stay in faith. If you want to hear those words, and God remembered, friends, you've got to stay in faith, because that's exactly what they did. They stayed in faith, and God was able to bring it about. Hannah couldn't have children, and the Bible says that God remembered her. What about a guy called Joseph? Come on. The Bible says God remembered him. Friends, if we want what Noah experienced, then we've got to do what Noah did. Are you ready? Can I give you a couple of points of what Noah did? Noah didn't open the door by force. Wouldn't it have been a very clever thing for him to say, you know what? It's been 6 months. Yeah, and I can still hear waves outside, but I'm frustrated. I'm a little bit angry, actually. And I've actually prayed a couple of prayers to you, God. I've eaten enough chickens in this place. It's time for some real Nando's. And if he had have gone to go kick down the door, friends, what would have literally happened if he had have tried to do that? He would have sunk the ship. And do you know what some people can tend to do with their lives? Friends, the boat is your faith. And sometimes the very thing that's going to bring about your miracle, you actually destroy. We give up on our faith. I'm not doing this anymore. I tried Christianity. I used to believe in God. And what are you doing? You're kicking the door down. The very thing that can save you, you've actually destroyed. All of a sudden, your boat's sinking. Don't force the door open. Let God open the door. And He will do it in the right time. And I know that for, if you're anything like me, you want to kick that door down. But come on, some of us know this scripture really, really well. Jeremiah 29. Let's read it together. Verse 11. God says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. They're plans to prosper you. They're not there to harm you. They're plans to give you a hope and a future. And I don't know about you, but I have found myself often saying, God, I don't really like those plans that you've got. I've got a way that seems right to me. And we move away from God's plan and we go into our plan. Now, I've got to tell you something about my plan. It feels good. Does anyone ever have a plan and you go, look, I know that this is God's ways, but my way just seems right. Don't leave me hanging. Does anyone else ever feel like your way seems right? You know what you're supposed to do in your relationship. You know the godly thing to do, but your way just seems right. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way. Everyone say, there is a way. Yeah, there is. There actually is a way that appears to be right. But in the end, it leads to death. But listen, but there is a way. It's not like, but there's no way. No. There is a way. And it's your choice. But God says, but if you go through that way, it leads to death. Sometimes it's physical death. Sometimes it's just the death of a relationship or the death of a dream. Or the death of a career. But there is a way. Don't make any mistake about it. There is a way. Do you know when the Bible repeats itself, even in a roundabout way sometimes, you know that it's very important, right? Do you know, it's not much later in Proverbs that we actually see this verse come up. Some of you are like, no, that's the same verse. It's a different verse. Let's read this one because this one's really different. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. The Bible is begging you, please don't do it your way. Don't do it your way. Because God wants to bring life into your life. Give someone a high five. Come on. There is a way. Hey, some of us really want to be financially independent. Anybody else want to be financially independent? Does anybody want to actually live a life where you're not just going from paycheck to paycheck? And come on, how many people are in careers and you're just like, I'm so sick of this. I just want to be rich. I just want to have wealth. Hey, listen, God doesn't have a problem with that, but he has a problem in the way in which you're trying to get it. He does. Because this is what the Bible says. When God wants to bring wealth into your life, have a look at what he says when it comes to wealth. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich, but he adds no sorrow with it. In other words, when God wants to bring a wealth into your world, it's not at the cost of your family. It's not at the cost of your integrity. It's not at the cost of doing things legally. When God brings wealth into your world, he wants it to be sustainable so that you can enjoy the blessing, be able to put your head on the pillow and know that God is for you. When God adds blessing, he doesn't add any sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich in every area, but he doesn't want to add any sorrow. Is that okay? Yeah. Don't kick the door in, guys. Don't open the door. Wait for him. Do you remember God said to Abraham, Abraham, you're going to have a child. Do you remember this? So there was the promise, but it didn't happen for a long time, and he thought God had forgotten him. So what did he do? Hey, Sarah, I've got a great idea. How about me and, it was Sarah's idea. How about myself and the slave girl have a child? Well, there is a way. There is a way. So they went through that way. They had a child called Ishmael, but eventually Sarah and Abraham did have the child of promise. In other words, God did come through for them, but now they had Ishmael, who is not the child of promise. And the Bible tells us that this child grew up and began to persecute the promised child. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means when we push doors open, what you end up with actually works against the promises that God does actually have for your life. God didn't want Ishmael. You wanted Ishmael. And guess what? God let it happen. Be careful what you want to happen, because sometimes God says, okay, it's not my plan, it's your plan. Woo, Pastor Richard messing with us too much today. Please, please just get back to the funny stuff today. What did Noah need to remember? The Bible tells us that God was blowing on the waters. If you want a dry water, then just put a fan there and the wind blows the water away. It literally evaporates. That's what God was doing. God was blowing the water away. But it took a year and 17 days for that to happen. But God was up to something. You know, sometimes you can't see what God is doing. Maybe you've never thought about this, but friends, there were no beautiful windows for Noah to look out. And sometimes you feel like you're in the dark and you don't know what God is up to with your career, with your health. You don't know what God is up to. Just like Noah, he didn't know what was going on outside. That's why he had to send the bird and the raven and the dove, because he couldn't see what was going on. He just had to trust. You know, we were trying to buy a building down in Newlands Road, Coburg. Our church was actually still meeting in Coburg. Some of you may remember this. And we had actually put an offer in for a building down in Newlands Road. Huge building, it looked wonderful, heaps of car park, it looked absolutely amazing, and we signed a heads of agreement, but we were waiting on one document to come through from the Environmental Protection Agency. And that piece of paper was not in the contract. And I just desperately wanted to get us a building so that we didn't have to set up and pack up and do all those things. How many of you say amen to that, right? So I have the bright idea, hey, listen, who cares if the EPA thing isn't in there? Let's just sign our lives away and let's just go get ourselves this 2,000 square meter building. But there was this niggling that said, that sounds like you're kicking the door down. And I'm like, but God, we need this building. We would just grow and we could just settle ourselves. It's got a huge car park. God says, yeah, but there is a way. There is a way, Richard, that seems right to you, but it's going to lead to death. But God, we need this building. So I just delayed and I delayed and I waited and I waited until our solicitor rang up and said, hey, listen, I can't seem to get you this EPA. So we rang up the EPA and we said, excuse me, why aren't you giving us this piece of paper? And they said, we've been trying to get hold of you, but we didn't know how to get hold of you. But you need to know something. There is a burst water main under that property. And if you buy that property, you will find that your building is literally going to sink into the Merri Creek. Wow. If you go there now, you will see that what was a beautiful driveway going into the property is now like a mountain. Because it's completely destabilized the whole property. And I wanted to buy it. And God was trying to protect me and saying, don't kick the door in. And here I am going, but God, I just want a sign. I just want a sign. God says, no, I'm trying to protect you. I'm trying to protect you. I wonder what God's trying to protect you from right now. And you are so upset about it. But God is saying, hey, come on. Trust me. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a huge round of applause. Did you know that the waters rose slowly? Well, actually, they rose quite quickly, let's be honest. But then they came down really slow. It took a long time. You know, sometimes God is working on the miracle. It just takes a little bit longer than what you think. Do you know where the ark actually landed? It landed on a mountain called Mount Ararat. Do you know what Ararat literally means? Reverse the curse. That's what it means. I want you to see something. You know, how many valleys are there in the world? Lots. How many plains are there in the world? Lots. But God chose for the ark to land on a mountaintop. Do you know, when you feel like you've been on the waves of life for a long time, God's going to make sure that you land. When all this thing is said and done, you're going to land on a mountaintop. God is reversing the curse. And whatever you're going through right now, God's not happy to make you land in a valley. No, not even in a plain. God's going to make sure that you land on top of the mountain. Not only has he not forgotten you, friend, but he's going to work this thing out. How many times do we need to hear this from our God? He's going to work all things together for your good. We're just going to keep trusting him and keep trusting him. But I'm sure he's forgotten that I don't have a man in my life. Yeah. And you've dodged a couple of bullets too, young lady. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But I didn't get that job. How many times have you seen someone who honestly believes that that was the job for them? 6 weeks later, they cannot stand even going to that place. Come on. How about we just trust the Almighty God and let him do his work in our life? Amen. Reverse the curse. You know, people may forget you, but God won't. Amen. Genesis chapter 40, we read about Joseph. He tells these two guys what their dreams are. They're supposed to remember him when they get to Pharaoh. What do? They both forget about him. They both forget about him. But what did he keep doing? He just kept serving. Point number two, if you're going to be in the ark, keep feeding the animals. I know you're frustrated, but if you don't keep feeding those animals, when you actually do land, you're going to starve to death anyway. You've got to keep looking after, in other words, friends, your situation might not be great right now, but make the most of it. Keep being godly. Keep being friendly. Keep serving God. Keep being nice. But I'm not in my dream job, but keep turning up early and leave late. Do you know how many people are running companies today And you know how they got the job? They were just a great waiter. And then a manager came into that restaurant, saw the friendliness of this guy. Do you think it was the waiter's dream job? Probably not. But then all of a sudden, this guy looks up at me and says, mate, you're so friendly. Why don't you come in for an interview? I know people in this church that are now in industries because where they were at, they just shone. They just did the best that they could with what they had. They were feeling like they were in an ark, but God was able to lead them because they just gave it the best with where they were at right now. Are you hearing that? Come on, some of us need to really take that on board. Keep feeding the animals, friends. Joseph kept serving while he was in the prison. Did you know if Joseph didn't keep serving while he was in the prison, Pharaoh would have never heard about him. I don't know about you, but when I'm in a prison, I don't feel like talking to anybody. Do you know the only person in this room who could honestly say that they have been forgotten? There is someone. One person. And he was forgotten. He was forsaken. And the reason that he was forgotten and the reason why he was forsaken is so that we never have to be forgotten and forsaken. I think you know who I'm talking about. When Jesus was on that cross, friends, when he was on that cross, he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Now, some theologians may say God didn't forsake him. He just felt like he was forsaken. Hey, I don't think Jesus minces his words. Jesus yells out, Father, why have you forsaken me? I think the answer is quite clear. Jesus, I'm forsaking you so that I never have to forsake these people.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.